Why even bother? The importance of motivation. If from the meditative perspective, everything you are seeking is already here, even if it's difficult to wrap your thinking mind around that concept, if there is really no need to acquire anything or attain anything or improve yourself, if you are already whole and complete and by that same virtue so is the world, then why on earth bother meditating? Why would we want to cultivate mindfulness in the first place? And why use particular methods and techniques if they are all in the service of not getting anywhere anyway? And when, moreover, I've just finished saying that methods and techniques are not the whole of it anyway. The answer is that as long as the meaning of everything you are seeking is already here is only a concept, it's just another nice thought. Being merely a thought, it's extremely limited in its capacity for transforming you, for manifesting the truth the statement is pointing to, and ultimately changing the way you carry yourself and act in the world. More than anything else, I've come to see meditation as an act of love, an inward gesture of benevolence and kindness towards ourselves and towards others, a gesture of the heart that recognizes our perfection even in our obvious imperfection with all our shortcomings, our wounds, our attachments, our vexations, and our persistent habits of unawareness. It is a very brave gesture to take one's seat for a time and drop in on the present moment without adornment. In stopping, looking, and listening, in giving ourselves over to all our senses, including mind, in any moment, we are in that very moment embodying what we hold most sacred in life. Every time we are able to know a desire as desire, anger as anger, a habit as habit, an opinion as an opinion, a thought as a thought, a mind spasm as a mind spasm, or an intense sensation in the body as an intense sensation, we are correspondingly liberated. Nothing else has to happen. We don't even have to give up the desire or whatever it is. To see it and know it as desire, as whatever it is enough. In any given moment, we are either practicing mindfulness or, de facto, we are practicing mindlessness. When framed this way, we might want to take more responsibility for how we meet the world, inwardly and outwardly, in any and every moment, especially given that there just aren't any in-between moments in our lives. So meditation is both nothing at all, because there's no place to go and nothing to do, and simultaneously the hardest work in the world, because our mindlessness habit is so strongly developed and resistant to being seen and dismantled through our awareness. And it does require method and technique and effort to develop and refine our capacity for awareness so that it can tame the unruly qualities of the mind that make it at times so opaque and insensate. Beyond the ubiquity of stress and pain operating in my own life, my motivation to practice mindfulness is fairly simple. Each moment missed is a moment unlived. Each moment missed makes it more likely I will miss the next moment. Thinking in the service of awareness is heaven. Thinking in the absence of awareness can actually be hell. For mindlessness is not simply innocent or insensitive, quaint or clueless. Much of the time it is actively harmful, wittingly or unwittingly, both to oneself and to the others with whom we come in contact or share our lives. Besides, life is overwhelmingly interesting, revealing, and awe-provoking when we show up for it wholeheartedly and pay attention to the particulars. As Thoreau put it at the end of Walden, only that day dawns to which we are awake. Presence. If you happen to stumble upon somebody who is meditating, you know instantly that you've come into the orbit of something unusual and remarkable. Because I lead meditation classes and retreats, I have that experience quite often. I look out sometimes at hundreds of people sitting in silence on purpose, with nothing happening whatsoever except what is happening in the various interior landscapes of life unfolding in the present moment for each and every person there. At any given time in a room with 100 meditators, some may be struggling and distracted, working at being present, which is different from being present if only a hair breadth away in any moment. Yet it can feel like an infinite gulf when one is thinking or striving or in pain. So inwardly, there can be a lot of going back and forth in and out of awareness, especially when the stability of one's attention is undeveloped or having a rocky time of it. Usually, this translates into outward restlessness, wiggling, shifting, slumping, so forth. But in those for whom a degree of concentration has developed, or who are naturally more concentrated and focused, a sense of presence actually emanates from them. A person can appear subtly illuminated from within. It's plain to see. No longer is the person just a person or a personality. He or she has become being, pure and simple, just being. Just wakefulness, just peace. And in being peace, in that moment, the beauty of the person as pure being is unmistakable. Tibetans use the term kundan when speaking of the Dalai Lama. Kundan means the presence. It is neither a misnomer nor an exaggeration. In his presence, you become more present. I have watched him over a period of days in a room with a small number of people, often with complex scientific conversations and presentations going on, varying naturally in degrees of interest, but he appears to be right there all the time, not just in his thinking, but in his feeling tone. He attends to the matter at hand, and I've noticed that all of us around him become not only more present, but more open and more loving just by being in his presence. To be present is far from trivial. It is the hardest work in the world, at least to sustain presence, and I would say the most important. When you do fall into presence, healthy children live in the landscape of presence much of the time. You know it instantly, feel at home instantly. And being home, you can let loose, let go, rest in your being, rest in awareness, in presence itself, in your own good company.